Thanks for listening to Outcast World. You lock your front door, don't you? You wouldn't go out and leave the front door open. Well, that's essentially what you're doing when you're not using a VPN. Right now, your data is being tracked, stored, and sold by loads of people. For a lot of people that are listening to this show, that is not just annoying, it can also be very risky. NordVPN fixes it. It's fast, it's reliable, it's number one for consumers, and it takes less time to set up than ordering a takeaway. Outcast World listeners can get NordVPN for under £3 a month. That is up to 75% off. Just go to outcastworld.net. The link's at the top. Turn it on. Forget about it. Make yourself safer online with the number one NordVPN for under £3 a month at outcastworld.net. So in 1999 it was. I remember it. 1999. It must have been summer. It was headed up to summer 1999, and I was 16 years old, just coming up to 16, actually. And I'd been out for like a year, and, well, sort of out, and a queer drama landed on Channel 4, and it felt like a door being kicked in. Topher Taylor's with me today. Topher, hi.
Hi. I know all about doors being kicked in.
You're always having yours kicked in.
I built a career out of it, love.
Queer as Folk was, honestly, when it arrived on television in the late 90s, was more than just a breath of fresh air. It was a lifeline for queer people. As someone who's a touch younger than me, do you remember when it landed? How old were you?
I was 10, I think, 10, 11. I remember watching it late at night, like when my parents kind of were out. I was lucky we had a sitting room of a separate television.
Yeah.
And I used to watch my naughty stuff. So I used to watch Euro Trash.
Same.
Things like anything Channel 5 after 10 o'clock, and it, like, same, a sneak in there. But no, it was, I mean, it's a huge deal, isn't it? Everyone remembers Nathan.
Yeah. And I was the same age as Nathan at that point, so I felt a real affinity with Nathan. I wanted to be Nathan. No apology, no permission asked. Queer as Folk arrived on a tide that was going our way, and you could feel it. The world was getting queer, and we were getting more and more rights. Fast forward all these years, Russell T Davies, the writer of Queer as Folk, is back with a show called Tiptoe.
Morning, everybody.
Morning, boss.
So, this morning, I'm locked out of my own house. So I go next door. There's the neighbour's son, fresh out of the shower.
Dripping.
I'm going to share with you now something that happened on the first episode of Tiptoe, which, if you to compare it to some of the... Russell T Davies is famous for these speechy bits, isn't he, where a character gives a bit of a speech about the state of the world and it really sums up the show. And it does feel like a speech, and somehow it works. He does it on Doctor Who as well. Compare this to the kind of speech you would have got in 1999. This is the character Melba on the new show Tiptoe, which dropped on Channel 4 at the weekend. And this speech genuinely left me speechless about where we are.
Everything is coming back. All that from the 90s. We were despised, but you read the stuff online now, it sounds just the same.
Do I think it's coming back?
Yeah.
It's back, you idiot. Right now, it's here. It's a storm, it's a tide, it's a great big tsunami, and we're in the middle of it right now. Do I think it's coming back? You know, if you'd asked me in 1996, what do you think 2026 will be like? I'd have said, glory days. We'll have equality, we'll have love and kisses, we'll be holding hands, skipping down the streets. But they tricked us, didn't they? They just waited. Oh, they let us all come out. So now we're standing in the open, ready for them to shoot us down.
You think that? Really?
And look at me, I'm as out and as proud as anything, but past couple of years, I'm a lot more careful.
You just started a great big row.
On Canal Street, home turf, but out there. I used to walk into a room and just go, ta-da! Now I tiptoe, just in case.
My guest today has watched the first two episodes. That's one moment. Melba's speech will be remembered in queer history forever. This is Outcast World.
Queer politics.
When Farage says jump, Labour might say how high.
And it's not true. It's offering people false hope.
Sex.
Dating apps have become a breeding ground for the worst of human behaviours.
And culture.
What do you want, homie? We get together, we be simple. Simple. Simple for
you. He will, like, go nosh himself off.
This is Outcast World.
Welcome. Hello. Topher, hi.
Hi. How are you? You Yeah, I think everyone is. I think after watching those two episodes last night, I'm like, oh, fuck. It's almost like it made you face the music. It's a little bit easier to distract yourself. I think what he said about what Melva, the character, said about that, just kind of highlighting how bleak things are because we're in a new type of world. And I think that we're all waiting for this idea of the pendulum swinging. And I really believe that. But then you just realize we're in a different world now. We don't know what our future looks like in terms of technology. No. And so we can't rely on the pendulum swinging anymore, which is, I think, the ominous thing.
I think the interesting thing from the Melba perspective, and we all know a Melba, she sat there, she looks a bit sad, a bit old. She's lived her life, she's in the pub, you know, but she's a sage and she sees what's going on. And I keep on getting quite close to crying about this because I just feel like we've been living in a bubble and lying to ourselves about the direction of travel. Canal Street... you worked for Clone Zone. We were talking about this years ago. Remember when there were attacks on the store? That used to be open, the Clone Zone shop. People used to be able to just walk in.
We got smashed up 5 times in 2 months. 5, and we had to replace our glass windows frontage with steel because there's just no point putting the glass back in because they just break it again. So it's like a weird thing of, are we going to be resilient and adapt and get on with it, or are we going to like face the reality that this is a new reality now where people are radicalized into being, you know, homophobic because it's easier to be homophobic than to place blame on what's really going on in the world. And, you know, I don't know, the scapegoating of queer people is kind of really showing its head differently now. Because we're watching people getting radicalized online at such a rate that we've never experienced. Or like I said, it's a new normal. It's a new reality, which again leads back into the comfort and the idea that it will swing back into place is not, that's not an intelligent way to think. I believe personally, I think we have to really buckle up for what could potentially be coming, which could be brutal. I mean, it could be terrifying, but we can't just get comfortable. And then people like you and I get, you know, oh, they're so preachy leftist gays. You're a social justice warrior. I'm like, well, someone has to be.
Years and Years was the show a few years ago.
Oh my God, and of Russell, course, Years and Years too.
Yeah. And Russell was able to just start, I'm not going to say see into the future, but anyone who'd done a bit of work about the direction of travel was going to see the sort of things that were going to happen. And he's done the same thing again, but it's come back to the community he started his work with. And there's just I've spent today with such an unease. I've watched that Melba speech about 3 times and it's made me cry about the tide of hate and violence and division that's coming. And the thing is, it's the same. I feel like this for trans people that I know that were just about getting on with their lives, and then all of this shit's happened, and the government, a Labour fucking government, has pushed them back out of public life, or has attempted to, and we're now left in a situation where they encouraged us to come out. Sure, they encouraged us to stand there and say, here I am, and now here we are, and we've got nowhere to hide. And I think it takes something like a TV drama to just punch through that stuff sometimes. Like, that opening scene is so... If you haven't seen it, I might as well tell you, the opening scene is Alan Cumming's character strung up from a lamppost, is being lynched by, I presume, his next-door neighbour. And then we fast-forward to the tender. My hair's on the fucking...
Yeah, and it's so... Like, that's what I really admired about it when I was watching it, because it takes a fucking lot to shock me. Like, you know, with my industry and stuff, it takes a hell of a lot. I love horror films. I love insane, intense stories and crime. That really fucking shocked me. I'm like, wow, that's really not what I expected to see immediately. But I guess that's the magic of it. And that's it's almost like leaning into what Melba was saying. We have to face the reality of just how bleak and dark this can get and not be too comfortable with what we assume and presume. Like, shit can get really fucking dark. And just because some things we read are headlines and it's not our personal trauma, this shit happens and could potentially happen again and again. And that was I don't want to say it's beautiful because it's not, it's horrific, but I love that it made me think differently straight away. Yeah. I mean, from the first, this happens in the first 30 seconds of the show.
Oh yeah, it's so, at that point you are committed to the entire series, aren't you? Like, how the fuck has this happened? But you know, you look at the it's such an interesting choice of things to do, like a man strung up from a lamppost, is so visceral. Like, that is what people, that black people had that done to them for generations in the US, lynchings and that kind of thing. And it's that kind of mob justice based on nothing. So interesting. Another really interesting thing is the wormhole of what everyone's doing on the internet at night in their bed. And they cut through the different things. The young boy, I'm not at that stage yet, but I think he's obviously gay. And he's on some sort of, like, I don't know, no, porn I wouldn't go near.
He's doing like anime animal, like hard, not like animal, but like anime 3D drawings of like like, you know, a very overly,
yes,
overly AI style muscular six pack guys. Then the brother is doing OnlyFans content in his bedroom. His
brother's hot as fuck. Like, he's wanking for fans and earning cash. And
yeah,
and
he's earning like $4, $5. And then the dad is watching people getting murdered on Twitter. And the mum is listening to an audiobook, which kind of leans into like a sexual vibe story, and she begins masturbating. And the son is masturbating on OnlyFans, the other son's masturbating watching this porn, this like 3D porn. The mum's masturbating to the book at the same time the dad is watching. He's not masturbating the dad, but it's almost like a similar, obviously it is similar. He's getting off on watching trauma,
yeah,
and violence. And I think that's such a like I said, visceral way to express the way the world is right now. Like, people are getting so used to seeing this. Like, even me on Twitter, like today I was scrolling on my adult content Twitter, and there's so much, like, there's so many brutality videos. Like,
oh, there's loads, and they drop them in randomly.
Yeah, like, you're just scrolling your feed and you're seeing somebody get, like I saw someone the other day hold onto an electric rail bar and like explode. And I'm like, great. Like, I was on the fucking tube when I watched it as well. And I'm like, Jesus. And I think it speaks to a lot of what we are normalizing.
X normalizes it, I think. X normalizes everything. If you were to scroll through, you know, X goes, oh, it's porn you're after. Porn, porn, porn. Or 45-second clips or whatever. All tasters. Some of it's just amateur, some of it's whatever. And every now and again, there's what? Someone's injecting themselves. Someone looks younger than they should be. And you're like, what the fuck is being fired out? Who's responsible for this? Why is this happening? I haven't asked for this. Yeah. There's a content factory. There's a factory of hate and violence and extreme content. And it comes from, well, there's one person in particular it comes from, doesn't it? A man in the United States, and I'm not talking about Trump, who went round and reduced US aid contributions, and now millions of Africans are going to die and HIV won't be eradicated by 2030. This is the reality of the world we're currently living in. And we are on the front of this. We, as queer people, are on the front of this. Russell T. Davis spoke to one of our friends in Manchester and at the Tiptoe sort of premiere on Canal Street, and I love that Channel 4 Events did this. We've, and here's what he had to say.
On Queer as Folk, on Cucumber, now Tiptoe. What keeps pulling you back, and why is it so important?
Well, there's always a new story. I mean, you can show me 10 million LGBTQI people and I'll show you 10 million different stories. Plus, even if we try and stay the same, the world around us keeps changing, and the laws keep changing, and prejudice keeps changing, and acceptance keeps changing, so there's always a new story, and I love writing that.
So we've seen a lot of gentrification across London, across Birmingham. We are seeing it around Canal Street. So we've seen that across London, around Canal Street now. How important are LGBT spaces in the current climate?
I think they're very important. I think the fight against gentrification is always on. I think we keep on winning, to be honest. I mean, that's the kind of people we are. If we have to go and sit and sing in a basement to survive, then we will. So, and I think Canal Street's still got its heart. It's still got the bars. I think the heart of it's still there. So we're fighting back very well.
Thank you so much.
That's
Thank
okay. You. Pleasure. Thank you.
He's cute. He is cute, Russell T. Davis. And I think that he touches on another thing there about, like, you know, queer spaces disappearing and where are we all going to go? And the place we're all going to go is we're just going to go online, aren't we? And then for me, there's the nature of what you're saying there. What a queer space is going to be, and do we need them all to be doing 2-for-1 drinks so that hen parties can turn up, or do we need to keep them, you know, spaces where historically we've been able to hide from the real world? Canal Street as a concept in Manchester since the 50s has been a place that people have gone to hide from prejudice, yeah. And there's a real sense of community that I've been watching something on. I've been watching the History Channel recently, and they're doing this like World War II for Americans, voiced by Tom Hanks. And you can't hide.
Oh, yeah,
from the
yeah,
fact.
Yeah. I keep seeing this.
Have you seen it?
It's on my homepage when I turn my TV on. Yeah,
it's actually quite good. I mean, it's just
I haven't watched it. I will.
Well, it takes you through what happened, and you're like, you think you know, and you didn't really know. Like, Poland eradicated, not just militarily, but a war of annihilation. Kill the Jews, bomb the population, just make room, just fuck it off. That was the idea. We need the space. Forget the people. Kill them. And as you're taken through the ruthlessness of how that happened and the kind of people that they would just go into a town and go, right, anyone who's got anything to say for themselves, well-known people, businessmen, newspaper owners, politicians, intellectuals, homosexuals, just guns in the back of the head. And tell me that we're not reaching that world right now. In fact, we already are. We're already in that world right now in Europe, and we're already supporting that kind of world in the ongoing and expanding war in the Middle East over a greater Israel. It's only a matter of time. They call it the imperial boomerang. It's only a matter of time before the behaviours that are at the edge of the empire, whether that be the American or the British Empire, come back on the boomerang and happen to us. So my principal fear is that under a reform government, and we're still looking at this, is that queer spaces will be like the 50s, like the 80s, like the raid of the RVT in the 80s, where the police turned up wearing rubber gloves because they didn't want to handle the AIDS-y gaze, as they would have seen it. I can see that world coming back, and I can see it coming back pretty quick.
We have the reform cult been sold this idea that gay men and trans people are here to groom and fuck your children, when in reality, when you look at the statistics and the data and the patterns in society as a whole, the people that are statistically molesting, raping, grooming, harassing, driving children and young people to suicide are straight white men.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm not signing petitions or promoting the streets to eradicate straight white men from being in public spaces. I'm not voting against their rights. I don't want them to have reduced access to healthcare. Like, I just want everyone to leave each other the fuck alone. But we live in this new normal now where people don't realize they're in a cult, and people don't realize that they've been sold the idea of the world that's actually factually incorrect for the most part and very intellectually dishonest, which is dangerous because it makes people very confident in being wrong.
The interesting thing I've seen so far, and I'm waiting until tonight to get onto episode number 2 because me and my husband are in a pact when it comes to certain TV shows. The interesting thing is the slow but then very fast nature of homophobia and prejudice. It starts off with a thing. You can't say here he's 16, and you kind of go, all right, that means... Well, that's fine. You kind of don't trust your neighbour, but that's on you. And then it moves up to just... something else, and you lot are always this, and then and then before you know it, you've got a man being strung up from a lamppost. I know it sounds like quite a stretch, but
yeah, but that's how it happens. I think that we're getting, like you said, queer people now, we have to be really aware of just how bad this can get and how quickly. And I think I talk a lot about my past and where I grew up. I know that people roll their eyes at it. I grew up around white nationalists and very, very hateful, dangerous people. I don't talk about it to make myself sound interesting.
Oh.
I talk about it because it traumatized me. It destroyed my childhood. It destroyed my education. It completely warped my way of looking at people in this world because I saw from a very young age how evil can happen very fast. You know, Stephen Lawrence was lynched outside of my front door for being black.
A lynching.
It was a lynch mob. They came after him and... he was stabbed outside of our home and he died 150 meters up the road on Wellhall Road to the right. And we moved house because of it. Because there were TV cameras.
Right.
Yeah, because there were TV cameras outside that. And my mum didn't want her two kids to have cameras in their face, like having to face this murder every day, which we understood. But, and I think that people need to realize, and I'm not trying to preach to anyone or sound sanctimonious, but this shit can happen and it will happen. And we really have to be hyper aware of the cruelty, what we are ignoring, because the more that we ignore these politicians or these influencers or whoever, always go, oh, they're just doing it. They're just rage baiting. No, we really have to challenge this stuff properly, because to us, people who are a bit more like technologically or social media, like, I don't know, savvy, they can look at it and see it for what it is. Oh, that's just a bit of rage bait. But, you know, you need to think about people out there who are going to absorb this fact and who are like marinating right now this hate, which is then going to be, you know, projected, like, as we've all seen, it's been Muslims, it's been black people, it's been gay men, now it's trans people. And that's just not going to... you know, as mayor, I think that we have to really lock on to the idea that this is a very real dangerous thing. And we can watch TV shows and think, oh, that would never happen to me. But you just don't know.
And look at the people who are enabling it on that show. I've had the ginger friend that had the keys. Where do I know her from? Has she been on Coronation Street or something? Don't know why I know her.
She's familiar, I recognise her face. But I don't know.
But it's her, like, you lot with all your freedoms. And it's like, there's someone who would have been an ally of us. All of a sudden, it's like, you've gone too far. And it's like, it's not the guy that strung the man up. There's an obvious story there. But it's about the people and the women and the... Women in particular, actually, women are in a unique position to be able to influence their husbands and their sons, I think, when it comes to being kind to people who are different. For me, that should be that's the bottom rung of how you be a parent, is you teach your kid to say please and thank you and be a decent kid. And to, I know it used to come across in Britain as, don't, my mum used to be like, I'm like, Mum, that man's in a wheelchair. She said, do not point. Yeah.
My mum would just go, smack, I'd be like, oh, fuck.
Mine would be like, we don't do that. But you know, but you learn that stuff. And I think mums and that woman stands out in particular as like, that is where the slide and scale of a society where these things are unable to happen, it begins with our allies that are like, guys, you've gone too far. And
I think that there is a massive promotion emphasis on loads of platforms now of like, oh God, the left have gone too far. They want pronouns for their microwaves and this shit. It's like, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry, actually. If the biggest stress, and I know it's such a simplified way of looking at it, but I just want to say it out loud. If the biggest stress of your day or your biggest crack in your communication skills is having to refer to someone as they instead of he or she, then I'm sorry. You're having a good day and you live a very boring fucking life.
Yeah.
Because I wish that I was like, I'm obviously very visibly gay guy. Even when I try to not be, I just look gay. My mannerisms are gay. I'm kind of effeminate. I have to analyze everything I do everywhere I go.
Yeah.
And I'm a white blonde gay. Like, I'm on a different level of privilege even, but I'm still like, if I'm going to a shop at a certain time, if I'm leaving my house, if I'm going to a certain festival, am I going to be safe there? Like,
I think that, but with you, I do worry about you sometimes. I can blend. I shave my hair off. I wear a baseball cap all the time. I'm covered in tattoos. I've got a Liverpool accent. I can switch it up and down a bit, you know. Although they can always tell you queer in the end. But I always worried when we had events on and you were on your way there. And I never, 10 years ago, I wouldn't have bothered me because people were more live and let live. But now I do worry about you on the tube on the way to one of our events.
The thing that has worked for me, again, referencing my childhood, is I instinctively do not trust general public because of my childhood. That makes you develop street smarts.
Yeah.
So like my friend Becca came here from LA and she's from Boyle Heights in East Los Angeles, which is like the gang central, some might call it a ghetto. It's got a really bad rep. I think it's beautiful. I think it's one of the most amazing places I've ever set. It's beautiful. The food's incredible, but it's got a rep. And when she was in London with me, she's like, you're so street smart. I watch you watching everyone. I'm like, yeah, because it's not because I'm trying to be cool and have street smarts. I don't want to be cool and have street smarts. I want to be able to go on the train and relax, but I have to watch everyone's reaction to me because in the back of my head, I'm waiting for some shit always. And it's a living in a sense of tension, which I shouldn't have to.
That's your childhood as well, that though, isn't it? That's growing up in Eltham and being chased and beaten up on your way to the train station on your way back from Soho.
Yeah, like I had one of those. Again, I'm not playing a violin here because I have moved on a bit. I've done therapy. I'm healed, but I'm still suspicious. But I come from a place of suspicion and a place to protect myself always. So I'm not the kind of person who'd be, even when I'm drunk, I'm not that gay on the tube who's like rolling around the pole. I wouldn't wear heels or lingerie on the train. Doesn't matter how liberal. Not because I'm not proud of it. Not because I don't think it looks good, but because
I just don't want to get beat.
I don't think it's worth getting my face like kicked in again, which has happened, by the way. I don't want to worry about breaking bones or being maimed because I couldn't just change from a pair of heels into trainers, and it shouldn't have to happen.
No,
but I'm a realist who's been beaten many times. I know that this shit happens, so you can't live in a world of like, well, I'm just going to express myself and people have to accept me. I fucking wish that was the privilege I had because I've got disaligned teeth.
Haven't you? You've got misaligned teeth from being beaten.
Pour me a drink.
I'm sure we'll be talking more about the show, Tiptoe, I'm sure that'll be coming up on the podcast over the next few weeks. It's unlocked a box of feelings for some people. I made a, I put a TikTok out the other day, something that happened on the show yesterday. I know someone, I used to work with someone that works for Reform now in an advisory capacity. Their politics aside, they're not bound into the politics, but it's a gig. You get what I mean? It's a gig. It's money. It's work. And this person, I won't say what they do. This person said to me yesterday. They said, I watched Tiptoe. Have you seen the first? I said, I've not seen it yet. It was this yesterday morning. I watched Tiptoe, and I'll be honest, it left me feeling like empty and sad in a way that I've not been able to shake since. Made me feeling like I need more community. And I was just like,
go fuck yourself. Go fuck themselves.
Where do I
and
begin?
When they finish fucking themselves, continue to do it. Fuck them. Sorry, I know it's your friend, but no, I can't. I had a reform. I had some, can you believe, some parasite knocked on my front door. Bear in mind, I live next to Brixton.
Yeah. But they're going around Brixton knocking on doors.
To my place. Wow. I mean, you can imagine my reaction. You can imagine how graceful and elegant
they get weird if you tell them to fuck off, though. Don't swear at me. Like, fucking hell. Do you know what I find loads worse than swearing? Racism. Racism is the new swearing.
I consider being a fascist to be quite a bad character trait. I don't know about you, but I was just like, get the fuck away from my property. I was like, you've come to, I can't name my area. I don't want to tell people exactly where I live, but where I live.
Sort of like, Brixton-ish.
Yes, like the communities here, there's a massive Irish community, there's a huge African, a massive Caribbean community, huge Portuguese community. Like, it's just, we are a real melting pot, but like, this is the biggest kind of numbers of people in my kind of postcode. And it's like the audacity to come to this area with your little fucking turquoise blue fascist paperwork that you've printed in cheap ink. It's just, I found it really repulsive. It felt like an abuse. Like, don't you dare give that to me and think that I'd accept it.
We got sent one to Mr. Graham Smith and my husband's name underneath. I'm like, this is mad. A message from Nigel Farage. Like, fuck you. Right, you're listening to Outcast World. A little bit of a, if you've not seen Tiptoe on Channel 4 yet, here is a little bit of a taster.
Go on online and every other face is a man in lipstick because you are making it normal for children.
You know what this is? It's a new dark age.
You believe anything online? Why don't you believe me? Get out of my house.
You've not touched him.
No!
What have you done to him?
You failed him, Clive.
Oh, God. I've got goosebumps. I got goosebumps.
Genuinely, I don't know what to do with my feelings at the moment.
Queer politics, sex, and culture. Outcast World.
Welcome back. Now it's time for a part of the show that we've not done before. It's time, everybody, for Topher's slag bag. Topher's here. It's time to open the slag bag, Topher. We've been getting some DMs. We've been popping off, to be fair. We've been very busy on TikTok and on Instagram. You can find us. This is Outcast World on there. But this is the part of the show where we go through some of your messages. And Topher, we'll open your slag bag, shall we? Do you want message number one, please?
Yeah, go ahead. Okay.
Don't know who this UK leads. For Topher, mate, I need help. I've met a guy who's incredible in bed, but he wants to bring toys into it, and I've never gone near any of that. Where the hell do I even start without looking like I've panic bought the entire shop? Bit nervous, but very up for it. What's the crack there? What do we think? You're the go-to on sex toys.
I think he seems like he's in the perfect position already. I'm not sure what he says to me. He's up for it, but he doesn't know where to start. Start small. Patronize yourself. Like, with sex toys, I say to everyone, patronize yourself in the beginning. You're going to think, oh, that's too small, that's not powerful enough. Start with very, very basic, simple stuff. Always use that as your base. Then you can, like, if, for example, if he's using anal stuff, start with a small butt plug. Start with a very small prostate massager. Then you go, you know what, I like where that push is, but I think I need it a little bit bigger. Or, like, because rather than you put too much in, because what happens a lot with toys is people use something, it's way too much for them, or they just don't like it, and they think, I don't like toys in general. Yeah. So maybe because you just jumped in the wrong kind of end of the pool.
People get hungry, don't they? Like, the term eyes bigger than your belly when you go into...
Yeah.
Like, I'll have the mixed grill, and it's 5 kilos of meat. You wanted a sausage.
Yeah, I mean, I know I do, but even if you're really experienced with anal sex, it's not the same as a butt plug.
No, it's very different. Very different.
So start small. Start with a very simple product. And if you need like specific recommendations, DM me. But like I said, I will always. Yeah, and then in regards to your partner, the one who wants to use toys with you, just communicate. And that seems like the most scary thing to do, but it really is important. Be like,
yeah.
just tell them, like, oh, I've never really tried. I'm totally down to do this. But just FYI, I've never done it before. And it's actually like, I'm going into my work mode now. But it is sex toys and partnerships in bed is such a fucking good way to build your sex life up. Because you go on an adventure together.
Yeah,
because you're both inviting this product into your bedroom, and it's an exploration for you both, and it's a real bonding experience.
Interesting point you made about start small and go bigger. Like, you'll enjoy the small. You might not, when you look at it, you might, oh, bigger one. But yeah, if you start off with something smaller, then you will actually get some pleasure as opposed to just like hurting yourself. Did you know? Fun fact, Outcast World. Since we become a bit more globally focused, because there's queer people around the world and we're getting a lot of listeners, that roughly 45% of our listeners are now in the United States, which fascinates me. There's a real appetite for queer content in the US. So this one
I wonder why.
Oh, I wonder. This one comes from Sacramento in the USA. Topher, I gotta know. I'm gonna do it in the style of Patty and Selma. Topher, I gotta know. Is it normal that I can only finish a certain way? And my new guy thinks it's hilarious. Not in a mean way. He's into it, but now I'm self-conscious. Is everybody secretly weird in bed? Is it just me? So, I don't know. I'd love to know what was going on. Like, when climax. What's happening there?
Yeah, it's a bit specific. But I think usually when someone can only finish a certain way, it usually comes down to their masturbation routine. So, like, if you're wanking a certain way with a dry hand at a certain speed, you can't replicate that with someone's body or fruit unless you're Superman. There are ways to train yourself out of it. I don't think it's abnormal. As long as you're in, like, it seems like they're having a decent sex life. He ended on a kind of positive note. But like, I think if that's something you want to change, get yourself a masturbator and start fucking it. Don't wank with it.
I can only finish in a certain way. For me, that was like with a shriek or... like, I don't know, just so mad, like bursting out laughing. I don't know. I'd like to know how he finishes up.
I would be inclined to think that he has to pull out and wank it off, or he needs a partner in doggy or something, because you can get a certain speed and motion.
Yeah.
But what I would say from my expert POV, that this sounds like somebody who masturbates and has trained their dick a certain way.
So yeah.
You got to do little bits to train yourself out of it. The best way I always say to anyone with a penis is get a fleshlight or any kind of masturbator that you can afford.
Well, I don't like that idea of them. I don't know why. They're not for me.
I love them.
Men love them and that. I'm always like, oh.
But like, get a fleshlight or a masturbator that you can afford and mount it. Don't thrust with it with your hand, because that kind of defeats the point if you're taking yourself out of like a bad masturbator.
So you're trying to slow down.
Yeah, you want to learn to come without gripping, you know, unless you're fucking, I don't know, someone who's very dry and very, very tight, you're not going to get that. No. Because we're naturally cavernous as you go past the ring, like men and women and whoever. Like, you get the nice tight entryway and then you go into like a soft spongy space.
Yeah.
And that's not the same as the grip of your hand.
Right, yeah, it feels totally different. Right, that's from whoever it was in Sacramento. UK, Nottingham, Topher, I've been hooking up with a lad who is, let's say, very generously built. How do we...
Built, generously built?
Does that... I'm confused as well. That means I want to take things further, but I'm generally worried about the logistics. Oh, I know, I get it now. Wow, this person's talking in riddles. How do I prep properly and make it not awkward? Asking because Google has frightened me. It's not impossible. You'd be surprised at what's that bit from Heated Rivalry when he goes, oh, don't worry, it will fit. And it will fit.
Yeah, there's loads of ways to prepare. I mean, I kind of think they're talking to like handling the cock, also probably douching, I would assume.
Sounds like, yeah, both.
Sounds a bit like douching. So I would say just like, I've got some douching guides already online, but like, douche properly, figure out the best way you douche.
Don't overdouche, pointless. Yeah, even with big dicks.
Fuck up, eat well, pay attention to how you poop and how you eat, and like, say, for example, if you have an oily dinner, probably not the best idea to have anal sex after it. If you have a very lactose heavy dinner, drinks, coffees, probably don't do caffeine. eat fiber heavy, maybe start taking fiber supplements. What's it called? I fucking forget the name, but anyway, there's famous fiber.
Psyllium husk, that one.
Psyllium husk, that's it.
You swear by that, don't you?
Yeah, and what that does, it firms your poops, so you're less sticky. When you douche, you've got less residue within your anal walls.
Right.
And you have to do that, and then just practice. Practice makes perfect, and take it slow. Lots of lubricant. Reapplication of lube is really important. Figuring out the right lube that works for you is very important. For me personally, I like silicone lube. Not a lot of people do. For people who are new to anal, I would say get a hybrid, which is the water-based silicone, because it's like, it creates like a pillow around the anus. So it's kind of like a buffer, a friction reduction routine, right. Let's say. Do that, douche well, practice, allow your body to release all the water before. But also remember, if you're really worried about douching and stuff, remember that shit happens, as they say. You know, there are not a lot of people who like that idea, especially if you are douching, because I guess the whole point of douching is to prevent that from happening.
But, and if your diet's right beforehand, like, I wouldn't recommend getting a Domino's and then,
listen to your body. Like, it's really quite that simple. Learn how your body responds when you eat certain foods or drink certain drinks. Or if maybe you've been drinking alcohol the night before, sometimes it's not always best. Because your system's more hydrated, you're more likely to have diarrhea. You know, but with anything, it's like practice makes perfect. And then talking to it from a relationship POV or the way you interact with a man, I always say to people, like, yeah, it's fine not to want to poop, or not to want to paint, as the Americans say. But also, if you're in bed with somebody and you're so nervous about an accident happening and like upsetting them that you're not enjoying the sex, then maybe you shouldn't be in bed with them.
Yeah, that's it. If it's not like an enjoyable experience, why are you doing it at all? We'll end on this. Portland, USA, love it. Topher, my boyfriend and I want to try threesome. Neither of us has done it. I'm terrified about jealousy ruining everything. It's the most common thing. How do you actually have the conversation without turning it into a fight before everyone's even naked? Can I help with this one? It's about laying down. As someone who's been in a long-term relationship, and obviously, I'm fucking gay. I mean, fucking hell. I've been in many scenarios. And eye contact, but not too much, with your partner whilst you're in the scenario. Threesome, foursome, could be two couples. You need to make sure it's good, cool. That, and then leave it at that. Don't be like constantly checking. Because if you're constantly checking with your partner that everything's okay, the other person who can't just go, are we all good, will then vibe that there's something going on and penises will go soft. And that's my advice. What about yours?
I think there's loads of good. I mean, I'm not great with non-monogamous stuff because I'm a very jealous person, unfortunately. I'm completely transparent about that. I was cheated on in my first serious relationship, which traumatized me. I'm still working through it. Unfortunately, obviously when people look at my career, they're really shocked. I'm not like that. I wish I wasn't. I probably am not. I think it's just a trauma threw me off. But I said there's loads of amazing non-monogamy relationship experts out there. I've got a close friend who I love, Ali Eisman. Listen to her work. She's an incredible non-monogamous sex educator. She's an amazing woman. So yeah, just loads and loads of, there's loads of detail, like expert. There's like whole podcast series. So just make sure you're getting your news from a credible source.
Queer politics, sex, and culture. Outcast World.
Topher, a pleasure as ever, love. Hopefully get you in the studio sometime soon. I keep on threatening to bring the studio to your house. Keep on threatening to do that.
It's really soundproofed as well.
I'll bet it is. I bet.
Trust me, I've tested that.
I bet it is. So that's where we land. Been an interesting episode. Thanks for your messages as well. Topher's always on hand personally, or if you want to just DM us on TikTok or Instagram, we're always there. Topher, thank you as ever for the filth and the feeling in roughly equal measure. If you've watched Tiptoe yet, we're going to keep this conversation going. Tell us where you came down on it. It's the kind of opposite to the 1999 vibe. Here I am at 43 years old. You heard it there first. I'm 43. It's the future, guys. And I imagine what the future would be like. And I didn't think it would be like this. And it upsets me. We are at the opposite times to 1999. And we've still got a Labour government. And frankly, that Labour government has enabled some of this. It's enabled it. Think about that. The door that got kicked back open back then is being quietly slid shut again. And that is maybe exactly why this moment is hitting the way it does. I'm going to let her have the last word because she deserves it. Topher, I'll see you in a bit. We're going to leave you with the fantastic Melba from Tiptoe on Channel 4.
I think history's merciless. And it only goes one way, onwards. It marches on and on and on. And what if this never swings back? What if Trump just keeps on winning forever and ever? How far will it go? How much will they hate us? Because they hate us, Leo. They really hate us. And you know what? I think they've always hated us. Only now they don't have to pretend anymore. No. History tells us one thing. That blood and fire and retribution always happen. And right now, it's coming for us.
We'll see you next time.
Queer politics, sex, and culture. Outcast World.
Stay with me. This is incredibly simple. If you've ever used Grindr, Googled something rather personal, or posted anything political, your data is already being tracked and sold. Think about that. A VPN can make you a lot safer. NordVPN takes about 2 minutes to set up, one click to turn on, and it just runs in the background. There's no effort after that. It's consistently voted number one across a load of metrics for consumers. It's fast, it's secure, and there's no drop-offs. Outcast World listeners can get up to 75% off NordVPN right now, which brings it down to under £3 a month. Go to outcastworld.net. Top of the page, tap the link, then you're done. Outcastworld.net for up to 75% off NordVPN.